worship God, but maybe in a significant way, can I ask you to honor God with your silence? I'm asking you to be silent so your heart can worship, not just your mouth. I'd like something to issue from your heart to the Lord, from the depth of your spirit, man. Lord, we honor you this morning. We exalted our Father. We worship in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's have a seat. Good morning, everybody. At least me, I can ask. Pastor Femi has asked, but let me now ask, how was our night? All right. Mine was fine, too. We thank the Lord for how he has begun with us in this conference. Yesterday was a very beautiful opening. I want to appreciate God for Pastor Femi Bakare for the privilege to share and bring a few thoughts as God continues with us this morning. Our theme is in the last days, and I'll just like to add one or two thoughts. Then we'll trust God that our other elders would build more concrete things. I'd like us to open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll do the reading of the whole chapter. Intentionally, I advocate reading large portions of scripture, even though we might only pick a couple of verses, but then reading the word of God as a way of purifying our souls. I would prefer if we can do NKJV. With time, I will come to the Living Bible. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his second coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which unthought and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Verse 18, the last. But growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts in Jesus' name. I intentionally read because I have learned by personal experience that there are seasons that the word of God is read, and even though the preacher wants to speak from somewhere else, the Holy Ghost can pick a verse and address my own matter. And that's why I like reading large portions, such that God can be at liberty to minister to anybody as he fits, as he deems fit. So this morning, I was just thinking we could look at the therefores of 2 Peter chapter 3. There are three critical therefores, and those therefores are therefores because of the last days. Those are the things I thought we could look at, the therefores. But running through, you saw that Peter was saying, I'm writing to remind you. Even my first letter, I was writing to remind you. And the concept of remind is because he was talking to persons who had been instructed in these things before. They knew before now. So he was writing to remind them. So he said, I'm writing to remind you. And these things I'm reminding you are things that are based on the words which were spoken by the holy prophets, but also spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like to read from the Living Bible. I have the Living Bible here. It brings a very simpler explanation to what we have read. This is my second letter to you, dear brothers, and in both of them I have tried to remind you, if you will let me, about facts you already know. Facts you learned from the holy prophet and from us apostles who brought you the words of our Lord and Savior. So we notice that what Peter was speaking about are things that had been spoken forth already, first by the prophet. Then the apostles also reported it as they heard from the Lord Jesus. So Peter was speaking by the authority of scriptures, because the prophet and the apostles spoke scriptures. Their words were based, founded on scripture. So Peter was calling to remembrance, or bringing a reminder to the people about the things that has been said initially. And he said, in the last days, just as we are discussing, one of the things that will characterize is the fact that scoffers will come. I want to remind you, in the last days, there will be some scoffers who will do every wrong they can think of, and they will laugh at the truth. This will be their line of argument. So Jesus promised to come back, did he? Then where is he? He will never come. Why? As far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly as it was since the first day of creation. So scoffers will arise. While Peter narrowed down on the subject of these scoffers to be, that they will say Jesus is not coming soon, by the time we get to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, it enlarges it, that these scoffers will be some who will not say Jesus will not come back, but rather will begin to make allowance for living in a way that does not show that you're expecting him to come back, which boils down to the fact that they are also denying the coming back of Jesus. Let me say that in another way. So the scoffers in 2 Peter are saying Jesus is not coming back soon. I mean, they are verbal with it. But when you read Timothy, you see this persons who preach doctrines of demons say things about you can live anyhow. How you live does not really matter, because what you do is not so important. And even though they are not saying with their mouth that Jesus is not coming back soon, they are saying with their life that we are not expecting any time back soon, as it were. So Peter was saying there will be scoffers and all of that. Verse 5 says, they deliberately forget this fact, that God did destroy the world with a mighty flood long after he had made the heavens by the word of his command, and had used the waters to form the earth and surround it. And God has commanded that the earth and the heaven be stored away for a great bonfire at the judgment day, when all ungodly men will perish. Verse 8, but don't forget this, dear friends, that a day or 1,000 years from now is like tomorrow to the Lord. He's not really being slow about his promised return, even though it sometimes seems that way. But he's waiting for the good reason that he's not willing that anyone should perish, and is giving more time for sinners to repent. And you know, if you think about it logically, I mean, Paul, Peter, them had been speaking about the Lord Jesus coming back. And here we are still talking about Jesus coming back. So he's looking as if God is taking time. But Peter is saying, when God said, I'm coming back soon, his soon was fact. It's just that the way he judges soon is not the way you judge soon. And that's scary in two ways. When God says, I'm coming soon, it can mean it's very far, or it can mean it's very close. Because Peter said, one day with the Lord and 1,000 years are the same. So when God says, I will lift you tomorrow, God might be saying, I'm going to lift you in 1,000 years. When God says, I will lift you tomorrow, God might say, I'm lifting you in the next 1 hour. I'm trying to say that correctly. It's to say that you cannot catch God lying. No, it's not possible. In fact, a preacher I listened to said the The thing the devil should always work at is to make sure God has not spoken. He said, because once he sees it, even if creation has to bend, that word will not go unfulfilled. It won't. So when these persons deliberately forget the fact that the one who speaks and his word don't fall to the ground is the one who says, I am coming back, and in my coming back, the earth will be destroyed. The heavens will be destroyed. I am coming to take back to myself my people. So you are in the end of days. And they are saying it's too far. I mean, even in the, God will help us. The early church took things more serious. I remember reading about the Thessalonian church that Paul now had to come and say, guys, be working. Because when they heard that Jesus was coming back soon, they stopped working. And they said, let's just prepare ourselves for his coming. So they became, people were saying, we're expecting God to come. Paul now said, guys, don't worry, please walk. I told you Jesus is coming. He's coming, but it does not stop you from living. I wish that we are as serious as they were. I mean, somebody will say, if you want to hear on the wrong, on the good side. So if you want to, somebody said, let it be that I will get to heaven and they will tell me that all these things is a lie. Is better. You know, in my language, you call some persons adonrumoto. Adonrumoto means those who get to heaven and learn the truth. It will be a bitter experience to realize that all you have been told is true, but you took it for a lie. It's better you get to heaven. And God said, Christianity is not that hard. He said, but at least I'm here. So I'm saying that when God says, indeed, the earth will go. This earth, this current earth and the current heaven will be burned with fire. It's towards the end that a new heaven and a new earth will come. But then we are thinking God is slow in his coming. Jesus is coming. So in fact, sometimes I'm joking with some persons and I'm saying, when are you coming? And they will say soon. I said, Jesus said it. We've not seen him. Give me an exact time. Don't say soon. Soon can be very relative. I joke about it. But the practical thought is that some persons now take it for granted that he's been saying it. He's not coming again. And Peter is saying, it's not because God is slow. It's because he desires that no one should perish. That speaks about the heart of our Father. We have a Father who desires that no one should perish. And I wish that Peter would have said he desires that no one shall perish or no one must perish. He says should. It means God is saying, I really don't want you to perish, but you can choose to perish. I don't want it. It's not what I want. But then when God created you, he created you and me as agents of free will, as persons who can take a decision. So God is saying, I'm not going to stand in your way of perishing, but I don't want you to. I think it was Chris Devon that came to Port Harcourt in 2019, and I first seen the port, and he said, for anybody to go to hell, you will have to jump over the dead body of Jesus. You will consciously go to hell if you go. You won't get to hell by mistake. Every man who goes the way of perdition goes knowingly. Somebody say, are you serious? Especially for us. You know, I'm glad you are in IRC, but then you also implicated yourself because now you are hearing. So if you go to hell, God forbid in Jesus' name. God forbid, God forbid. But if, God forbid, they will say the 17th of May, 2025, somebody said to you, for you to enter hell, you have to jump over the dead body of Jesus. Because Jesus died for you not to go. So for you to go, you say, Jesus, your death is useless. I don't know why you're disturbing yourself. I will go all the same. But that's not even the thought I wanted to share. I wanted to talk about the dear force of the last day. So I'd like us to go to verse 11. Let's begin from verse 11. Verse 11 and verse 12. We'll start from there. We'll go to verse 14. Then we'll go to verse 17. And I'll tidy my thoughts. Therefore, and you know, somebody told us while we're growing up in the faith that every time you see a therefore, it is there for something. So this therefore is because he has spoken about the last days. Because of the last days they have spoken about. It says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And the first thought that came to my heart is what I said before. There is a certainty that there's an end. Pastor Femi was speaking to us yesterday, and he said, if you're talking about a new age or the new age, it means that the present age has an expiry date. Certainly. There's a certainty that it will happen. Since you know, therefore, since you know that this will happen, you know So the first thought is that there's a certainty of its coming. There's a certainty that there's going to be an end to this age. You know, we saw that diagram. We're in the present age where we have the first coming of Jesus. It will end at the second coming of Jesus. And we are in the last days of the present age. So there's first the certainty. Then we now spoke about, let's go back to verse 11, please. Thank you, sir. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If you can pick this from Amplified, it could aid our understanding. Amplified. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of persons ought you to be in the meantime in holy behavior? I like the word the meantime because we are marking time. We are marking time. So as of now, what sort of persons ought you to be in holy behavior? And it describes holy behavior, what that place calls holy conduct. That is, in a pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer. So when we speak about holy living, I learned in recent times that every time the word holiness is mentioned, it usually has to do with conduct, it has to do with conversation. Holiness is practical. Holiness is righteousness lived out. Holiness is worked out righteousness. So I agree with you that at salvation by faith, you receive the righteousness of Jesus. I agree with you. But because you did not die on that day that you gave your life to Christ, it's expected that that righteousness finds expression. And the way it finds expression is holy living. What I have in my notice, holy living refers to being set apart as a believer. Daily life, consistently living out the righteousness within. Working out or showcasing what is going on inside of us by the transformational power of God's word. So I agree with you that you read the Bible. I agree that you are a Christian. I agree that you attend church. But it must show how you live. So therefore, because you know that the world is coming to an end and we're in the last days, it places the demand of holy living on us. A conscious living out of the righteousness of God within. If indeed we are in the last days and we know it, therefore we should live as these persons. What kind of persons you ought to be in the meantime? In holy behavior. That is in a pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer. Some of my friends here will know that I always make reference to this, that we're in prayer conference 2 years ago, and one of our guest speakers was saying, how many of you have heard somebody say to you that, now you only pass? He said, you can confidently answer them yes, and you will not be in blasphemy. He said, because in righteousness, we are the same. In holiness, we can be different. In righteousness, all of us receive the righteousness of Jesus. So I am no more righteous than you in that it is not as if they gave me diluted version of Jesus' righteousness. We got the same thing. But in the working out, I can be more practical and intentional than you. I can be more yielded to the Holy Spirit. I can be more responsive to the working of God's word in my life more than you, so that my life is bearing more fruit. So when they say, now you only pass, you say, yes, by the grace of God. Don't take it as them saying that your own is too much. If your own is not too much, when will it be too much? If there's a time to carry Jesus on your head like Gala, it's now. You know why? These persons on the other side are not ashamed of the things they do. They are not. So why are we afraid of proclaiming with boldness, I stand for Jesus? I wrote an exam as an undergraduate in 200 level. And lady behind me, her name is Azizat. I won't forget. She's very complexion. My level mate, course mate. And she was calling me, Dako, Dako, Dako. I didn't answer her. She thought I didn't hear. She started kicking me from under the chair. Dako, Dako, Dako. I didn't answer her. After we finished exams and we stepped out, she came. She wanted to come. And I just said, mm-mm. I don't do that. It's against my values as a child of God. That was the end of that conversation. I didn't have to say, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry to be a Christian. I'm not. I just thought that it's against my values as a child of God. I don't cheat. I don't. And it marked an end because she became my evangelist. Because when others want to sit close, you'll just say, bad market. Don't go near that, but it will not teach you. Very good. So we need to live this pattern of daily life that sets us apart as believers. And why? It's because we know we are expecting the coming of the Lord. They can live anywhere, we can't. We have a hope that our eyes is set on. The second part says, and in godliness, displaying profound reverence towards an awesome God. Interestingly, I was speaking in the office yesterday, and I was asking my staff, we're having devotion. I said, what's the meaning of awesome? And they say, awesome means good. I say, no. Both of them are Igbos. So I now said, what is the Igbo rendition of awesome? Igbo people. What's awesome in Igbo? Okay, good. Since I don't speak Igbo, I'll speak my language. I wanted to be even, but in Yoruba language, awesome means eru jeje. Eru is fear. The synonym of awesome is dreadful. Terrible. I was joking telling them that every time an angel appeared, most times, I don't know, I've not done an exhaust. Every time an angel appeared, or most times, when he appears, what's the first thing he says to the saint? Fear not. Why? Why would I tell you fear not? Because normally, your first response is, but that's an angel. So when we say, displaying profound reverence towards our awesome God, God is kind, God is nice, I know. But God is terrible. We should live in holy fear. Because daddy with the pamper is daddy with the flog. And it's not because God is wicked. Part of the narrative of some persons who say that not nobody will go to hell. God is too kind to cast anybody to hell. May the Lord restore a healthy fear of him to the church again. I didn't meet it too actively. I met a bit, but not too actively. But I remember that I heard our father say, in Orthodox churches, the altar is condoned off. When a child is crawling and mistakenly goes towards the altar, if the mother is at the back, she runs. Because he's saying, But these days, so we're living, displaying a profound, and I'm not saying that you're not saying, God, don't kill me. No. I'm not asking you to. It's LD fear. And that means that I'm careful the way I live because I'm honoring God with my life. When I catch myself doing things that don't please him, I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm conscious of God. That's what I'm talking about. Because you know we're in the last days, one of the things that must happen to us that we must carry a God consciousness in our conversations, in our living. Let them know that when you are talking and you mistakenly say a curse word, they are saying, Lord, I'm sorry. And they are saying, your own is even too much. My own better be too much. Read the account of a particular person. I don't know which book I was reading. And it says the guy was a very notorious criminal in town. And he went to prison. And when he got to prison, he got saved. He encountered Jesus. Then he came back. So when he came back, he went back to his workplace and he told them he's a Christian. He said, stop that nonsense, you. This was somebody that when he's walking like this, and others are coming, people create space for him because of how dreadful he is. He now said he's born again. They said, leave that thing. Until they were talking one day in the office, and they were working. I think he works in a place that they use this machine that drills, that punches pins, strong pins. So while he was doing that, he mistakenly punched a pin through his finger. And he used a curse word. Maybe he used the F word. Soon as they say, look at the person who said he's born again. As he said it, they saw his countenance change. He was stricken. And he bowed his head. There with them. After he bowed his head, he raised his hand. And a glow filled. And he said, now we can continue. I've made up with my father. He shocked them. He said, indeed, you are changed. You know what happened to him? He was too conscious of God. That even when he caught himself using an F word, the first thing that happened to him was, he said his countenance, the author says his countenance looked as if somebody was in deep anguish. They thought it was the anguish of the pain. He said no. He bowed his head.
By the time he opened up, there was this glow. Said, all right, we can say what happened. He said, no, I made up with my father. He carried the consciousness of God. Let's go to verse 14 because of time. So, beloved, let's go back to NKJV. So, we're talking about the fact that it's the certainty of the coming. Then, because we are certain that this coming is sure, in these last days, we are expected to live in holy living and also in godly living. I would say godly living means that you carry a healthy consciousness of God. You are careful about the way you live because you have God in your thoughts constantly. Verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. When he said these things, what was he referring to? Talking about the last days, the burning and the taking away of this present earth and this present heaven. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him with peace, found in him in peace without spot and blameless. So the first thing I want to highlight there is the word diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be committed to it. Be committed to holy living. Be committed to righteous living. Be committed to godly living. Diligence means that it does not happen by chance. Diligence talks about intentionality. You are living intentionally. And I'd like us to read maybe two scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Let's continue. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter still speaking here says that add to your faith. But he's saying, do it diligently. So when he says add to your faith, what does he mean? That you are saved. You know, scripture says we are saved by grace through faith, Abby. So it's your salvation is based on the fact that you believed. John chapter 1, verse 12. As many who received him, as many who believed on his name. So being saved means that you believed on the name of Jesus. That is faith. So it means everybody who calls themselves a Christian have what we call the foundation of faith. And it says, do all due diligence that to this faith now add. It talks about the fact that I am an intentional Christian. I'm not just saying I am saved, so everything is fine. Be diligent. Be intentional. Be committed. Diligence talks about not being slack. Not being sluggish. Not dragging feet. Not living carelessly. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. In fact, I'm thinking we should stretch a bit. Romans chapter 12, I think we should start from, Lord help us. Even though we are going to read verse 12, but I want to stretch it a little bit. Let's start from verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Yes. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one to another. Now verse 11. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Can we check NLT? Never be lazy. But work hard and serve the Lord. How? Enthusiastically. This does not speak about somebody who is passive in their following of Jesus. In fact, somebody said to us some years back, he says, a careless seeker cannot find God. It's an intentionality you bring to your pursuit of this life. And why you do that is because you know you are pursuing what is real. Those who are chasing after shadows, even do it more diligently than us. Our brothers on the other side, the children of the bondwoman, pray 5 times a day without fail. If you see the serious ones amongst them, if they have a shop and it's time to pray and they lay their mat, and you come and say, I want to buy, the best they will do for you is they clap. In fact, some persons take advantage of them. They know that if I want to buy, they will still be praying. So when they clap, 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 it takes something for 250 and at least 100 naira. But they will not leave their prayers. Diligence, because of distance. Therefore, we live diligently. We serve diligently. We follow the Lord diligently with intentionality. We are not careless. Gird up the loins of your mind. You are an intentional Christian. Diligence. Maybe I'll read from here, verse 11. Never be lazy in your walk. Never be lazy. 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 So you wake up to have your quiet time and say, I'm feeling tired today. God understands. You're supposed to fast once a week, the day of your fasting. You say, I don't know. I'm not feeling too strong today. I'll just eat. I agree that day you are not feeling too strong, but the week has not ended. Make up for it. I mean, this life is not hard. I have a very heavy test to do today. I need to read. I need glucose. I agree with you. That's on Thursday. There's nothing you are doing on Saturday. Fast on Saturday. And then to rush very early to lectures. That lecture, no problem. No problem. There are 24 hours in a day. Come back and do your quiet time. That's intentionality. That's diligence. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 14. I'm beginning to tie my thoughts together so we can pray. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And as I read this verse, it seemed to communicate that being kept blameless, being kept spotless, being kept pure, is due to my diligence. And I wanted to argue with it. I mean, and I'll show you why I want to argue. Let's check. That should be 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Because, you know, the concept is that, let me say the way those our brethren used to say it. You did not do anything to get saved, Abby. So you should not do anything to stay saved. Is that not logical enough? I was expecting us to clap just like Pastor Simon said yesterday. I mean, you didn't do anything to get saved. So why should you do anything to stay saved? We are kept. I mean, Jesus gave us this salvation, so Jesus will keep this salvation by himself, if it is precious to him. So 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is this blamelessness coming from? From this scripture. Praise God. Who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. This being blameless, what is sponsoring it? Being confirmed, Abby. Can we check NLT for this? NLT or message? Let's check both. It will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. So, that you will be without blame is why? Because it will keep you happy? Good. Let's do message. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until all things are wrapped up by Jesus. And I think message gave my answer. I like the word alongside. Because I wrote in my notes that God keeps us, but we also have a responsibility of keeping ourselves. We have both in scripture. But I like this alongside. Alongside means that God is keeping you, but you are allowing yourself to be kept. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. I think that should be 3 or 4 years ago. Just as it's pure. Yes, sir. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. That was an IRC theme. And everyone who has this hope in himself does what? Purifies himself. Just as he is pure. Who does the purifying here? Who? So in the matter of being blameless, one of the dear force places the responsibility of keeping yourself pure on your table. Because we know the things that defile. We know. And I have the responsibility of staying clear of defilement. One more scripture. I think that should be Timothy. I didn't capture it in my note. Holy Ghost, where is that scripture? 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think so. In a great house, there are many vessels. Is it 2 Timothy or 1st? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, I think. Is it? I'm not sure. 20. All right. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some for dishonor. Next verse. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and used for the master, prepared for every good work. Who does the cleansing here? So part of the dear force of the last days is that I have a duty for keeping my part clean. When Jesus was going to wash the foot of his disciples, if you remember, Peter was saying, no, sir, I cannot wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have none of me. Peter said, okay, sir, don't only wash my feet, wash my hand, wash my head. Peter can be extra. And Jesus says something very beautiful in that scripture. And he says, he who has bathed needs not to bathe again, save that he needs to wash his feet. And there was a time I was trying to trace that thought. So why was it important for that person to wash his feet? And I realized that in their days, they probably wore sandals mostly, and they walked on very dusty paths. Their locomotion too then were animals. So it means that it's possible that the dropping of animals might be on the ground. So this person has bathed in the morning, but as he's walking, his feet gathers dust. So by the time he gets home, even though he does not need to bathe again, at least he needs to wash his feet. How does that translate to us as being believers? The dust is the earth. So we'll talk about you stepping on the ground is the earth. And sometimes earth and carnality are alike. The carnal man is a man made from the earth, as it were. When you relate, you don't live in isolation. You daily relate with people. You relate with social media. And sometimes in doing that, your mind can gather dust. By dust, I mean specks of carnality. And sometimes they are unconscious. How many of you have caught yourself suddenly vibing to twe, and you say, what's going on? It was because while you were going in the vehicle, they were playing twe, and unconsciously you gathered it. But you have a responsibility for cleansing. Is your duty. But not only cleansing, you also have a duty for beginning to place barriers. You can reduce the frequency of being stained. You can. Before I got born again, there were a couple of things I used to view on Facebook. So Facebook had stored my algorithm. So Facebook brings those things because it knows that I have liked them in the past. Now that I'm born again, Facebook does not know. It still brings those things till today. So what do I do? When it brings it, I close. I close consistently. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to tell Facebook something has changed. You have a duty for keeping from defilement. Some persons call me antisocial, but all through my days on campus, I never attended any departmental dinner. I did not. They said, why? But you are paying dues. I said to them, oh, the dues. Because I know if I go, they are not going to play Nathaniel Bassey. They won't play Dosin. And somebody say, it's not hard now. When they are doing their thing, just sit down, drink your drink and eat your food. You paid for it. I said, food and drink, I will willfully sacrifice it. Rather than place myself in a situation where my soul gets contaminated. And I see you as a Christian, a child of God. You are born again. You have given your life to Christ. And I thought everything about you belonged to Jesus. The phone that should belong to Jesus. Ask Bonaboy. Ask Wizkid. And you are saying God will keep me. I wish I was God's PA. So we must work at being kept from defilement as we see the coming of the Lord Jesus coming. In fact, I think one of the scriptures, time didn't allow me to talk about, talks about the fact that hastening is coming. So when I saw that hastening is coming, I said, okay, make the coming of Jesus come soon. The next verse now, I think the verse before it said, because the world will be burned up. So it was looking as if I am very eager that the world should be burnt up. Let's check it. It just flashed in my thoughts again that we should talk about it. Let's go back to that 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, I think I might still have time to tidy my thoughts. 2 Peter chapter 3. Where's that place that spoke about hastening it? Please, if you find it, help me. Verse 11. Okay, let's do 11, 12, 13 like that. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person? So you saw this portion of these things will be dissolved, Abby? And the dissolved is that the head will be burnt up, the heavens will be burnt up. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Yes. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fire. And I'm saying, am I supposed to hasten it up so that the world can be burnt? Verse 14. 14 now. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless, yes? And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. And also, our beloved brother Paul, according to the reason given to him, has written to you. There's a portion that spoke about the fact that because of this hope, and this hope is that we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. That's the new age. The reason why we are hastening the coming of the Lord, what we're saying, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. It's because you are saying, I'm looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. And scripture says that world is ruled by righteousness. Where I won't have to be contending with the things I hear on the street again. Because righteousness is everywhere. I'm not careful about going on Twitter. I've deactivated my Twitter account. It's painful, but I had to. Because it was a major point of defilement for me. One of my covenant brothers has not been on Facebook since 2011. Why? Because Facebook became a place of... So he just said, rather than be constantly contaminated, I will leave Facebook for you people. And we are saying, well, that's the place you get. I'll get the gist from you. I miss Twitter because Twitter is where the banter is happening. My guys understand. That's where the conversations happen. But I'll hear the conversations from you. Rather than get defiled. Let's run. Let's go to verse 17 now so we can tie our thoughts. Verse 17. Or let's just read from verse 14 down so we'll be contextual in our thoughts. Sorry, media. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace without spot and blameless. Yes. and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, or all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which unthought and unstable people twist to their own destruction. You know, Pastor Simon was talking about Psalm 56 verse 5 or so, was talking about they twist the word of God. They say what God did not say. Somebody once jokingly said that when we get to heaven, Paul will say, God, please permit me, I need Koboko. Because the things that people have done with Pauline epistles, the things that people have taught with the epistles of Paul, Paul is saying, who taught it? It's not me. That's not what I said. So Peter acknowledged the fact that people twist Pauline scriptures. Says because some of his writings are hard to understand and they twist to their own destruction as they do also the rest of scriptures. Yes? Verse 17 now. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, you know yesterday Pastor Simon said the imagery for talking about the last days is Ogun Asotele Kin Parotobagbon. I was saying that a foretold war will not catch or will not kill or destroy a layman that is wise. Since you know beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So Pastor Femi said yesterday that it's possible to fall. And I know that some of your teachers have told you otherwise. But I'm asking who you will listen to, your teachers or the Bible. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. It's possible, sirs. Who was Peter writing this text to? From verse 1, he was saying, I'm writing to remind you. So if he's reminding them, they have been having conversations. So it means he was writing to believers, was writing to saints. And he was saying, beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. The wicked are being led away. God forbid, but he's saying there's a possibility of joining them. Maybe the crowning thing for me yesterday was when Pastor Femi read 1 Corinthians 10, 11, and 12 from the Message Bible. It was beautiful. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Now, all these things happen to them as examples. Let's do message. Thank you, sir. These are all warning markers. Danger in our history books. Written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They are at the beginning and we are at the end. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Hey, you are capable, sir. So 2016. I was back in school, seeing my masters when one of our young brothers in IFS came and met me. And I don't know how that conversation happened. And maybe I mentioned that he can sing. He said, no, sir, brother, but no, I cannot sing. Me, I lost the ability to sing. Ha. I mean, he was saying it with confidence that I cannot sing. He quoted scriptures for me. Say 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, whosoever the word of God cannot sin because he has the seed of God in him. Ha. Ah. You are capable. You are capable. The more reason why you need to constantly draw to God, because the things you can do will shock you. Oh, I was telling someone that, have you seen David? A man after the heart of God. David, that Abishai will say, is it Abishai or Ashael? And say, sir, just permit me. I will strike him once. I won't strike him twice. When they had access to Saul. And David said, no. Don't touch the Lord's anointed. That was his enemy. That was somebody who was pursuing him to kill him. Somebody he had every justifiable reason to kill. But this David, a man after God's heart, said no. But this same David will send a letter by Uriah for Uriah to be killed. Uriah being one of his trusted servants. Uriah was part of the 30. I said, what happened? The capacity of our hearts to do evil. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? If the Lord is not holding us, the things we can do, you are capable. But my matter is not your capability. My matter is what happens after your capability. Somebody jokingly said that he knows about freedom of speech, but does not know about freedom after speech. Because after your capability has showed forth, what it leads to is the same destruction that happened to these people. They were fed. They were defended. So in case you are thinking that God was just giving them manna and was giving them, it was not only provision, no. There was protection because they were moving in the wilderness. The pillar of fire at night keeps wild animals away. They were kept. Kept for what? Destruction. God forbid. I saw something about Jacob that scared me, and I'm praying that God is not like that. I don't know. Reuben slept with Bila. Jacob ate, and he kept quiet. Until the time of blessing, said, Reuben, my son, my firstborn, excellency of strength, you will not succeed. And I said, sir, why didn't you scold him? Nigba Toshe, sorry. And you waited. But I'm hoping that God is not like that. Because these guys were being fed, but it was like, feed them, or, you know, broiler chicken, feed them. Verse 12, sir, because of time, so we can pray. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You are not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. So as that verse 17 was saying, beware lest you be lured away from your steadfastness. It means that, guys, you need to embrace the truth that you have heard. Guard it. I was speaking in church on Thursday. We're having a midweek meeting. And we're talking about contending for the faith. And we're praying that God, in the name of Jesus, keep us. So yesterday when Pastor Simeon Afolabi said, he remembered what Pastor said about Omo Adrapupoki Junu. Remember that I was saying to them in church that we're praying for our seed. And I was saying, you have children in university. Niger Salmon has the message of ministers you can think about. You know, when I said it, some of those fathers were looking at me like, what is Niger Salmon? In my mind, I'm saying, they don't know. They don't know. On Niger Salmon, when you click Joshua Selman, how many messages come? So the things that this generation has access to when it comes to teachings is plenty. Both chaff, everything. But some of you, God has been gracious to you. You were raised in truth. Maybe I'm talking to someone, I don't know. You were raised in truth. You cannot deny it. Your father, your mother, your home church were diligent laborers in building you in truth. Suddenly you are getting to school and you are discovering new truth. Somebody said, if it is true, it is not new. If it is new, it is not true. If it is true, it's not new. Truth is ageless, eternal. So if it is new, it's not true. So for some of you, when he started teaching, in fact, I feel God is talking to someone particularly. When he started teaching you this thing, there was this unease. It was not sitting well, but you are shaking the unease away. Ha! It is burning bush calling your attention to step aside and check. If these things be true, may you not be led away. I will end with a story I shared in church. so we can pray. I have a close sister, a friend of mine. We grew up together in Scripture Union. Grew up together. We were first campers. After we left school, we became camp officers, training other people in long vacation camp, doing Bible studies with them. She went to school. She went to Babcock, gained admission, studied nursing. And after a while, we came back from one of those camp meetings. Maybe she was addressing some group of students, or she said something, and my disciple ahead is part of us too. And he just said, "Musu, stop that nonsense. What you said is wrong." When he said it, even me, I felt that, sir, why do you attack her like that? I didn't say it, of course. You can't. Where I come from. Maybe here you can, but where I come from, you don't dare some things. In my mind, I was saying, later she was coming and saying, why won't you talk to me like that? She just, no. I said, it's okay. It was 2 or 3 years later that she sat down with me and said, Dakpo, that time that Uncle Demola said that thing, Uncle Demola was correct. He saw what others did not see. I was on the way to perdition. What happened? She joined a fellowship in school. And we were teaching Rema sound things, very high sounding, you know those things we like. Caliber, timber, perspire, aspire, refire, retire, all of those things. On portals, dimensions. Until she got engaged to a brother in that fellowship. And as they got engaged, part of the high thoughts they taught them is the fact that marriage is sacred. Marriage is for something that comes between spirits. That means that for me to say I want to marry someone, I must have heard from God. So our spirit men or spirit man have connected. So the marriage ceremony that we do is just a physical expression of what has happened spiritually. As such, if you receive that from the Lord, if you heard God together, if you did that, so there are some things you can do that may look wrong, but actually you have said yes to him. And my sister told me that we have done everything save for the actual act of sex. What kept her from sex, she does not know. And when I say sex, I hope you know that sex is a journey. So when I say sex, I mean the ultimate point of penetration and all of that. No, he said that was the only thing they had not done. I don't know how Mercy found Mosun. Maybe John 15, Luke 15 says, and he came to himself. I think she came to herself and realized. Mosun came back and said, Dapo, I have always said that. He said, She said in that fellowship, they are grown not to a point that when they are praying, they are saying, Lord, don't give me milk. I'm capable of handling bone. Bring it. Open my head, put bone. I will sort it. Bone, strong meat. She came back and she said, Dakbo, now I'm afraid of meat and bone. Lord, give me milk. I'm fine. This happened to someone I know. And I'm saying, if somebody that was raised in... I'd like us to pray. Please bow your head to me. We'll spend a minute to pray. There might have been many things that have been said, but there might be a particular striking thing that God brought to your heart. I'd like you to make a response to God. I'd like you to make a response to God. While I prayed this morning, one of the things I begged God for was that, Lord, let your word bring conviction. Let your word bring conversion. Let your word bring confirmation of truth. And because of that, I'll be making a call this morning. There might be a sister who is already on the way of perdition, and you can hear the voice of Jesus this morning. There might be a brother who is treading the path of destruction. You know it, and you are here. I'm going to plead with you wherever you are to raise your hand. Don't worry, you are not doing it for me. But heaven has sent help to you this morning, willing to rescue you. You know you are here. You are treading the path of perdition. You know. Will you raise your hand as we pray together? A brother, a sister, any such person. You are navigating on safe waters. You know. As you raise that hand, can you speak to Jesus? Thank you. I see those hands. It's between you and the Lord. and you are saying, Lord, I hear your voice, and I'm coming back home. I hear your voice. I'm coming back home. Save me to the uttermost. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Maybe somebody here wants to pray and say, Lord, save me from myself. I'm not even aware of the things I'm capable of, but Lord, save me from myself. Maybe somebody wants to pray those prayers or pray that prayer.